Well, my name is Michael Sawyer, and it really is a pleasure to be here this morning. I've had the pleasure of being a Christ follower for over 20 years. I've been married for 12 of those years. I have four children. Their ages are 3, 4, 6, and 7. And I've gotten to serve local churches as a pastor in the local church setting for really over the past 14 years. And so it really is an honor to co-labor with other ministers here as we get to open the word together. Now, I'll confess that I really did not know exactly what to wear today. And so this is one of those things, you go into new places, you don't always know. But Daniel helped me out. He preempted my questions on one of our phone calls by telling me exactly kind of what people do. Now, here's the reality. Even if he hadn't told me, what he didn't know is I already watched multiple services here to see what people wore and kind of what the trend was. And so if you have a guy who's coming up on stage, what does the normal person wear? But even if there hadn't been services for me to watch or he hadn't preempted my question, I would have asked him the question. It's important for me to get this right. Now, it may seem small. It's incredibly small in the grand scheme of things, but I love asking questions so I get things right. Good questions lead to right actions. Now, sometimes when I ask questions, it's because I feel the weight of my own ignorance. I honestly don't like not knowing. That feeling of not knowing kind of feels as this negative weight, this weight that's on those shoulders where you just have to have it resolved. And so you ask the people who you think you know, and if they give you that right answer, it's as if that weight, that burden is lifted, and you can move on. But what about when there's no one to ask? What about when you find yourself in a situation where there is no expert, there's no one with the right answer, because the situation that you're in is so tough, so demanding, so daunting, that there's nowhere to turn? When there are no good answers, when you're in a situation that's so tough that every which way you turn seems like the wrong way, you're left with one desperate question. What? What am I going to do? I've had some moments like this in my life. There have been various times in my life where I've turned every which way and I can't find the solution to the problem that I have. And one of them popped up, and it just always sticks in my mind, happened about 4 years ago. My son, he was 6 months old, and he'd been sick for 5 days. Now, he had this fever that had peaked at 103 and just kind of hung out there for a few days, and some really weird symptoms, and then there was that nonstop crying. Nothing we did made any difference at all. So we went to our pediatrician, went to the doctor multiple times, and eventually they sent us to Cook's Children in Fort Worth. Now, no one knew what was going on with him, and lots of different things were going on, so we found ourselves on the infectious disease floor of the hospital. And so as we're there, he's hooked up to all sorts of different machines, and these doctors are coming in wearing their full infectious disease garb because they don't know what's going on either. And there I sat, as a dad, powerless, completely unable to do anything for my kid. And I found myself asking the question, what am I going to do? I wish I could say this was a one-time thing. I wish that was the only time in my life I'd ever experienced that desperation of not knowing. But so often we find ourselves in those situations on a recurring basis. In fact, I find myself in a similar situation right now where I'm still scrambling for answers. And the truth is, those situations, those experiences are just common to the human experience. If you're not in the midst of one of those circumstances right now, soon enough you will find yourself there. And when you're in a situation like that, it could be personally, it could be just something you internally are dealing with. It may be a family situation, like where you're going into a holiday weekend or you're going into the summer and you know you're going to encounter that family dynamic that you've been hiding from. It could even be as a church, where you're sitting here as a congregation and there are some big questions that you have and you just wonder, what am I, what are we going to do? And I'm telling you, when you find yourself in situations like that, you've got to look for good answers. So if you open your Bible today, we'll be in James chapter 1. James 1. Now, just so you know, as you're turning to James chapter 1, I've pulled the text today from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. If you have a different translation, you can follow along with that as well. But if you have the Bible app and you want to follow along specifically with this translation, it'll be the HCSB. James chapter 1. James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, but endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways. Now, this book is written by somebody who identifies as a slave to God, a slave to Jesus Christ. And it's written to a group of people who have literally been run out of their homes by persecution of Christians. And of all things, he starts off this book by telling them to consider it joy that they would go through these trials. Now, for James and the reader, trials which were inevitable served a purpose that wasn't. Trials that were inevitable served a purpose that wasn't. Said a different way, everyone is going to go through things. Everyone is going to go through things that are tough, that are difficult, that leave us asking the questions, what am I going to do? But not every trial leads to the outcome that James would intend. You see, the ideal outcome is that these trials would lead to faith, and this faith would lead to endurance, and this endurance would lead to spiritual maturity. The hope is that in going through trials, God's people would be made more and more into Christ's likeness. This is the ultimate aspiration of every believer's life, that they become progressively more and more like their Savior. But all too often, trials have different outcomes. Sometimes it's anger. Sometimes the end result of what we're walking through simply leads us to anger, realizing that we have this short fuse. And that because we're going through this, we're just ready to blow up on the next person that crosses our path. For others, others play the blame game. When they're going through stuff, it's as if they can find the reason or the person that they can put the blame on, then they can finally be relieved of that burden. Still others experience fear, kind of asking the question, will this ever be okay? Will my life ever be the way that I thought it should be? Will things ever go back to normal? And still others walk through trials and they deal with embarrassment. It's this feeling that we have to admit that we are not powerful enough to will our way through what we're facing. No matter how hard we try, it feels as if our best efforts are not enough. Because the fact remains, they're not. And if you're like me, you don't like feeling like you're not good enough. And that's the nature of a real trial. That's the nature of real trials in our lives. I find myself in a situation where I don't have the ability or the strength to fix it myself. Sometimes we face issues that are completely out of our control. So what do we do? What do we do? James looks at his reader and prescribes an answer. Ask God for wisdom. Seriously, when you find yourself in these situations where your own willpower, your own might, your own intelligence, your own cleverness can't suffice, ask God for wisdom. Ask him to show you the right way to handle the wrong that you find yourself in. What if he doesn't want to help me? What if I should know better already? What if when I ask, he responds to me as if I'm dumb, like I shouldn't even have to ask? I think we've got to be very aware that we've had some experiences in our life that have kind of shaped the way that we think about our own ignorance, our own unknowingness. Some of my least favorite times in childhood were those 30 seconds after the grades were passed out. Like you have this 30-second period of time where everybody looks around left and right, figuring out who they're better than. You want to feel less than? Don't have the answers. Go into high school. You deal with coaches. And you're in the middle of practice for baseball, and there's this new drill that the coach wants you to learn. And you're going through it, and you're repping the new drill, and you don't fully understand it. And so you make the mistake of asking. Do you want to feel lazy? Do you want to feel less than? Do you want to feel like you're not really a part of what this team's all about? Ask a question. And then we go into the workplace where there's different emotions at play, different aspirations, different hopes. And you find yourself in a situation where you just don't know, and so you ask a question. But instead of it being a pursuit of knowledge and understanding, it's interpreted as insubordination. The fact that you asked a question meant that you're not on board with where we're going as an organization. I'm not dumb. I'm not lazy. I'm not against you. I just don't know. We've got to be very real about what our own ignorance, our own unknowingness, the way that's been shaped in our lives. But when we approach God, when we approach our loving Father and we simply don't know, he doesn't condemn us. He doesn't respond to us with reproach. He doesn't shame us for our lack of understanding or accuse us of not being worthy of a response, as if even listening to our prayers was a waste of his time. He answers. He answers and he generously pours out his wisdom without criticism. He tells us the right way to respond to the wrong situation that we find ourselves in because he loves us. The goodness of God is that in every single situation, he provides what his people need. When we were lost, victimized by sin, he provided a savior. This perfect sacrifice for our sins, but the sacrifice, the gift that God gives does not stop with just this hope of eternal life. No, God encounters and impacts our day-to-day lives, pouring out with generosity his blessings on his children day in and day out. And so when we face trials that are beyond our control, when we face situations that we just don't know what to do, when we ask for wisdom, God will answer. But when we ask, we better ask in faith. Now, I want to explain to you in a moment what asking in faith means. But before I do, I kind of want to show you what the end result is if we don't ask in faith. And so we're going to cover what asking in faith is. But here's the end result. If when we ask for wisdom, we're not asking with lives that are full of faith. James says the doubter is like the surging sea. Now, when I think of the ocean, I think of waves hitting the beach. There's something incredibly relaxing about the regular cadence of water climbing the shore, reaching the crest, and then receding back into the ocean, only to be replaced with that next wave as it crashes ashore. It's a holiday weekend. I kind of want to go get a beach chair and an umbrella and some sunglasses and take a nap and experience the joy of the peaceful nature of the waves hitting the shore. And James would look at me and say, Michael, when I talk about the surging sea, I'm not talking about waves slowly hitting the shore. He said, no, come out here with me. Let's go a couple miles off the shore. Find yourself in a boat where the craziness, the raging waves come at you from all sides, where you're sitting there hanging on for dear life, not knowing which way that next wave is going to come from as it washes over the sides of your boat. Hey, your sunglasses, just so you know, they're already descending hundreds of yards down to the depths of the ocean floor right now. So if you think you're going to rest here and just experience the restful, peaceful nature of the waves cascading next to you, that's not what you're going to experience. No, what you'll find instead is the desperation that only exists when you're out of your element, when you're out of control, where you find yourself hoping that the waves will calm down enough and the wind will subside and you will get your clarity of vision enough so you can see land and make your last ditch effort to get to shore before the waves take you under. Helpless and hopeless and completely out of control. That's what a doubter is like. Holding on to dear life, where the only hope is that the circumstances, the trials we find ourselves in, end before we lose it all. So if you don't want that to be you, ask for wisdom in faith. But the fundamental foundational piece of asking in faith, like I wouldn't cover this if I was speaking directly to James's followers because like they already know this. The fundamental foundational piece is that asking in faith is predicated on a relationship with Christ. Understand that this book was written to people who were dispersed because they were experiencing Christian persecution. And so they already had that relationship with Christ. But if you find yourself in a situation saying, hey, I want the wisdom that only comes from God, the foundational action point for you is to find a relationship with Christ and then ask for wisdom. But asking in faith can really be demonstrated in a couple of different ways. The first is this, is a belief that he'll answer. Now, this may seem incredibly simple, but it's incredibly important. When you ask a question, you must believe you'll receive an answer. When you ask a question, you must believe you'll receive an answer. If you don't, why in the world would you ask? But how often in our individual lives do we spend a nominal amount of time in prayer and get frustrated when we don't get an answer from the Lord immediately and move forward as if we don't believe that God's going to answer anyway? When you ask, believe he'll answer. Secondly, asking in faith means a commitment to act. A commitment to act in the specific way he tells us on this specific issue. Think about how crazy it would sound to ask for the right way to do something, and then when that right way is presented to you, you say, I'm going to do something different. Like, we would never do that. But we do, like all the time. And I'm not talking just in our spiritual lives. I'm talking about in our home life, our work life, every aspect of life. We hear the right way, and then because the cost associated with the right way is a cost we don't want to pay, like, I'll figure out an easier way. I'll figure out a different way. I'll figure out a better way. James would look at you. He would look at me. And he said, if you don't have a commitment to act on what the Lord is showing you, then you're not asking in faith. So when you ask in faith, believe. Believe that God will give you the answer, not just one answer, not just an answer, but the right answer. And commit to what he calls you to do. Why would he give the gift of wisdom to someone who's not listening and not going to act on it anyway? Unstable in all their ways. There's a little bit of desperation that you feel when you can't fix something on your own. So it was day 5 of misery with my 6-month-old. He really had been crying nonstop. And the thing about this is we had 2 other kids already and we'd gone through, you know, baby crying and stuff like that. But this was different. He looked different, like his body just wasn't right. And the doctors noticed that and commented on that. And the way that only doctors can do, where you probably don't want to hear what they're saying, but you do want to hear what they're saying, kind of frames the way you look at a kid. Now, in that season of life, I was actually working on my doctorate. I was going to be a doctor, but not that kind of doctor. I was at Southern Seminary, and while I was at Southern Seminary, my child and adolescent spiritual formation class, they never told me anything about how to handle a kid on the 3rd floor of Cook's Children, which is not what they taught me. When you're out of your element, when you're past the level of your expertise, you've got to ask good questions. You have to depend on the expert to provide the path forward. So if you don't hear anything else today, whether in your personal life, your family life, your church life, if you don't hear anything else today, when you don't know, ask God for wisdom. When you don't know, ask God for wisdom. Now, in any situation, wisdom can be understood as the right way that leads to the right outcome as defined by the right person. The right way that leads to the right outcome as defined by the right person. Now, I would say that God is the right person to define the right way. And accordingly, to ask for wisdom means to ask God for the way he would have you to proceed. And so when you don't know, ask God for wisdom. Now, I want to give you one really practical thing to do this week. And so this isn't magical. It's not complicated. It's something better. It's actually doable. Okay, and so what I want you to do, you may be a journal person, you may be a note card person, but whatever kind of person, or you may be like a, well, when I got done with school, I was done with paper person. But whatever kind of person you are, I want you to be a paper person this week. And so what I would encourage you to do is to grab 5 note cards. Grab 5 note cards. Now in the top right-hand corner, I want you to put the next 5 dates. May 31st, June 1st, June 2nd, June 3rd, June 4th. Top right-hand corner. Now, if you're a journal person, you can do it on the 5 consecutive pages. Now, on the left-hand side of your document, I want you to answer one simple question. One simple question. What problem or what trial am I facing where I don't have all the answers about what I need to do? What is the problem I'm experiencing? What is the trial that I'm in where I find myself out of my element, out of my expertise, either angry or fearful or blame-ridden, whatever it is, not knowing my next steps? So that's going to be the same for all 5 days. It's the same problem that you're taking to the Lord 5 days in a row. Now, next below that, on the front side of a note card, if you're using a note card or just below that in your journal, I want you to answer the questions about how you feel about this issue. So here's some questions that you can answer. How do I feel about this issue? What am I feeling right now? What am I afraid of? What am I angry about? What am I embarrassed by? How is this problem impacting my life? And like I said, this could be a family thing. It could be a personal thing. It could be a congregational thing. It could be a business thing. It could be a whatever thing. Like, just answer those questions in light of who this impacts. Now, here's the part that's going to be a little bit different. I want you to flip the note card over or move to the bottom of the page. I want you to do exactly this. I want you to write a 3-sentence prayer. 3-sentence prayer. Now, when I say 3, there's 3 things you're going to write. And when I say sentence, I mean full and complete sentences that you would turn into your 6th grade English teacher, not bullet points. Because we really want to express what's actually on our hearts, thoughtful words that we can convey to the Lord. The first question that you're answering in your prayer, God, here's my problem. The second sentence, here's how I feel. And the last one is a petition. Please show me the next step. Here's my problem. Here's how I feel. Please show me my next step. Now, why would I encourage us with something like this? And I think quite simply because many of us haven't ever done something like it. We haven't actually prayed consistently about the trials we're going through. Our typical day-to-day, if we're not careful, may sound something like this. Hey, Michael, have you prayed about it? Well, I've talked to my wife about it. Hey, Michael, have you prayed about it? Well, I got online and I found a whole lot of really quality action plans that I can take. Hey, Michael, have you prayed about it? Hey, you know that first answer? You know how I said I talked to my wife about it? I didn't really talk to her. What I meant is I complained to her about it, but she was cool with it. Okay. Hey, Michael, have you prayed about it? Well, I've got this really good buddy, and he's a great godly guy, and I talked to him about it, and I told him all about it, and he gave me some really good advice. Michael, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? Expecting an answer, the answer that you are prepared to act on because God generously poured out his wisdom on you. I wish I could say that I always went straight to the Lord. I wish I could say that in every trial I experience in life, that I am a man who is marked by prayerful submission to whatever God asks me to do. But all too often, I miss out on the generous outpouring of God's wisdom in my life. And in turn, I do not experience the joy that's available to me in the midst of my trials. Here's what I know. When we commit to being people who look at life through the lens of God's ability to provide us wisdom, our lives are different, incredibly different. He loves you, and he desires that you would know him. And when you face the circumstances in your life that leave you disoriented, that leave you wanting more, that leave you asking the big question, am I going to be okay? God, in his goodness and his faithfulness, responds time and time again in love, pouring out wisdom for his children. The right way, defined by the right person. When you don't know, ask God for wisdom. You pray with me? Father, I'm so grateful that you are present in our lives, demonstrating your love for us in ways that we don't deserve. There are so many things in life that are overwhelming, that are too big for us to handle on our own. And you see us. And you meet us in our circumstances and you provide exactly what we need. Father, for First Baptist Pflugerville, as they seek your face, and everything from what to do today to what to do in their community as they search for their new senior pastor, Father, in all the different areas in which they are seeking your wisdom, I pray that you would provide. We want this place to be a light for this community that is marked by faithfulness that only comes from trusting in you. And for individuals and families that are suffering this weekend, who have either secretly or overtly handled the trials of this world, Father, make yourself known. Allow them to experience the benefit that only comes from communion with you and the local church. Because, Father, we want to make your name great. We want to be people whose lives are marked by your goodness and your grace. When we pray, thank you for listening, and thank you for answering. Amen.